B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A prospective juror for the sentencing of Parkland school shooter Nicholas Cruz asked the judge to dismiss her from duty earlier this week, claiming she didn't have enough time to fulfill her civic duty because she's both married and has a sugar daddy.
Yeah, her schedule just won't permit it.
This is ludicrous. The selected jurors will eventually determine whether Cruz will face the death penalty or life in prison. He killed 17 people at Majorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where he was once a student on Valentine's Day 2018. Jurors will have to agree to the death penalty unanimously in order for him to receive such a sentence. Otherwise, he's going to face life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, hours into the jury selection process, Circuit Judge Elizabeth Scherer asked if she had missed anyone with concerns or questions. And she asks in the video of the proceedings, pointing off camera toward one of the prospective jurors, she says, "Do you have a question?" And eventually she identifies her as Miss Bristol. And she says to the judge, "This is a whole entire month. First of all, let me clarify myself. July 2nd is my birthday. July 4th is my son's birthday. And the 18th is my other son's birthday." So she's got birthdays to
do. She's got a lot to handle here.
Yeah. So the judge asks her to speak slower. She says, "Don't talk too fast. We have to be able to understand. So you said that the July, there's dates in July that you're not available. What are those dates?" And then she goes through and gives the dates. And then she goes, "I need to figure something out. I have my sugar daddy that I see every day." The judge kind of cocks her head to the side and goes, "I'm sorry." And she goes, "My sugar daddy." And the judge says, "Okay, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, but, you know." And then she goes, "Well, I'm married and I have my sugar daddy.
Oh, my
and
God.
I see him every day."
All right.
And the judge goes, "All right, ma'am, we'll come back to you, okay?" then she instructs jurors that whose names are called to fill out a questionnaire before the audio stream is muted at that point. Bristol wasn't the only prospective juror to ask to be dismissed. Several others cited family commitments, work, previously booked travel plans. Some did not sufficiently speak English, and others had health issues. And all 12 jurors and 8 alternates will be selected. But this was her excuse. "I have a sugar daddy, and I need to see him every day."
It worked, right?
I didn't see a follow-up. Was she dismissed?
I think she was dismissed, yeah.
Oh.
If you could just, Nick, if you could check on that, I think she was.
The sentencing phase of Cruz's murder trial is expected to stretch from June through September. And listen, there are other reasons why people get dismissed. It may not have been the whole sugar daddy thing.
Could be that she even brought it up.
But the fact that she brought it up is like, okay, man, whatever.
Maybe we don't need her on the jury.
All right. The trial of a self-published romance writer accused of fatally shooting her chef husband started on Monday. Nancy Crampton Brophy has remained in custody since her arrest in September 2018, facing murder charges in the death of Daniel Brophy. Brophy was killed as he prepped for work at the Oregon Culinary Institute in Portland. He was alone in the kitchen when he was killed. There were no obvious suspects, but he was found dead in his classroom and students began arriving. Nancy Crampton is a self-published romance writer who years before her husband's death penned an essay titled "How to Murder Your Husband."
That's not good.
At the start of the trial Monday, the judge,
how to end up in the bizarre file,
announced that the essay would be excluded from the trial's evidence. But Brophy's death remained a mystery until his wife's arrest, and authorities have never publicly disclosed another suspect. Investigators determined there were no signs of force or struggle and no signs of robbery. Brophy still has had his wallet, cell phone, and car keys with him, so it didn't seem like it was a robbery motive. Traffic cameras show Crampton Brophy's minivan approaching and departing from city streets near the institute close to the apparent time of the shooting.
Looks pretty ironclad.
But the fact that she penned something called, an essay, "How to Murder Your Husband," seems a little funky. By the way, yes, the woman was excused in that previous story, Steve. This doesn't seem like a very good way to set your students up for success. A middle school teacher in Port Orange, Florida, was arrested on Tuesday for playing loud music with the intent to disrupt students taking the Florida statewide assessment test. The incident was posted on...
Aren't you supposed to help them take the test?
Yeah, on Instagram Live as it was happening. Port Orange police say that art teacher Martin Reese was arrested for disrupting school function and for disorderly conduct and has since been fired from his position at Creekside Middle School. No word on his motives. Maybe he hates standardized testing.
It's quite possible. And so what better thing to do than just screw up the kids?
Hang on. I have to...
Oh, good thing you have water.
I'd take a sip. Thank you. Pardon me for that pause.
Oh, no, you have to.
My God. Fox that bit at least 9 people is a follow-up story.
Oh, it was a red fox, right?
It was a red fox, yes, that bit at least 9 people, including a U.S. U.S. lawmaker near the U.S. Capitol earlier this week tested positive for rabies after being euthanized.
Oh, boy.
Representative Ami Barra told reporters Tuesday that he was the victim of an unprovoked attack by a fox while taking a walk the day before. He said, I felt something lunge, totally unprovoked, at the back of my leg. Capitol Police said in a Tuesday tweet that they had captured the fox after an extensive search. D.C. Department of Health officials said on Wednesday that there were at least 9 confirmed bites by the fox. Oh, 9 times he bit people, yes.
Hit him 9 times?
Yeah.
9 times.
It's crazy.
9 times.
9 times.
And it was humanely euthanized so it could be tested for rabies. The department said the D.C. Public Health Lab has confirmed that the fox captured yesterday tested positive for rabies.
There you go.
D.C. Health is contacting all human victims who were bitten by the fox. Barrett told reporters on Tuesday that he wasn't sure if the fox's teeth had broken the skin, but that he later received several doses of immunoglobulin, a tetanus shot, and the first dose of the rabies vaccination at a hospital in the city.
If you don't get treated, can you become a werefox?
Yeah, probably. Probably, more than likely. Yeah. I would think so.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A group of deer were caught on camera running past the entrance of a sporting goods store in Pennsylvania recently before jumping into the window of a diner and bouncing off the glass.
Oh, man.
The video was captured by a witness at the North Hanover Mall and shows the 5 deer running past the entrance of the Dick's Sporting Goods store before crossing the parking lot to the nearby Starlight Diner. And the video then shows the creatures running straight into the diner's large window, but they would just bounce right off of the glass. And they didn't break it and continued running on. So I guess it could have been worse.
Well, was there an early bird special?
Maybe that's why they were there. I'm not really sure. But they run and they slam into
it. It's 2 o'clock and it's 2 o'clock.
And bounce on it. But they are hauling ass through this parking lot. They've got to feel so out of place running across asphalt.
You're so stupid.
Yeah, I can't believe it. All right. How about this? A woman took to Reddit's Am I the A-hole page in a search for advice. And in her post, she explains that her husband's beloved grandpa named Theodore recently passed away. And she writes in part, my husband is devastated, especially about the notion that his children will never meet their great-grandfather who their father adored so much. She says her husband wants to name their unborn child after his grandfather, Theodore for a boy or Theodora for a girl. And she said, it's not that I mind the name. The issue is that our last name is Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
So it would be Ted Bundy, one of America's most famous serial killers. And, of course, he confessed to 30 murders.
Theodore Bundy.
The woman writes that her husband sees no valid association between the name and the murder. But she notes, I told him he needs to think about how we will be perceived, how our child will be treated, and the implications that that name inherently carries. Literally had to spell out why that would be a horrible idea, and he still thinks I just hate his grandfather.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to his boss, Tone Strangler.
Yeah.
Is it maternal? Does it indicate maternal or paternal grandpa?
Good question.
Because if it was paternal, his name would be Ted Bundy, too. Right?
It doesn't indicate, so I guess not. But anyhow, all of Reddit pretty much took the woman's side.
Yeah, no, you can't stick a kid with that name.
Go with a middle name like that if you want to. A driver in Peru did his best Fred Flintstone imitation, sans the bare feet. The unidentified driver was captured on video inside his rusted-out Volkswagen Beetle while motoring down a busy street in Peru by only using his feet.
It's hilarious.
And the viral footage was recorded by a TikTok user while waiting for a light to turn green as the nearby vehicles rev their engines The driver of the Beetle lowers his legs through a hole in the car and starts pedaling his feet down the left lane.
You got to see this footage if you can find it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Sounds like my dad.
Right. Yeah, didn't he hook up a doorbell for your turn signal?
No, it was the doorbell was my... I think it was my brake light.
Okay.
It was either brake light or reverse. I can't remember.
Watch. Here's the footage of the feet underneath the car.
You can see them.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I was at the airport the other day.
Right.
And I saw something I hadn't seen in ages. I saw two guys trying to pop start a car.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that all the
time.
What's
that?
So it's if you have a manual transmission.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and the car's not starting for whatever reason. Yeah. I saw a guy in the driver's seat. He had the driver's side door open. Yep, the other guy was pushing from behind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, okay, maybe they're just getting it off the side. No, dude jumped in the driver's side as they were going. And he tried to get it started, but they weren't getting it on speed.
My friend had a Volkswagen, and every other week we were pop starting it.
Yep.
That reminds me of the Karate Kid, because him and his mom have to pop start the car.
Which I found interesting, because I don't ever remember seeing a station wagon that was a manual transmission.
No.
You know what I mean? I wonder if they made them or not. So, anyway. Of all the mistakes to make, it's a pretty rough one. A man named Jacques Paul recently took to TikTok to explain he spent hours carefully completing an application form for a digital marketing position. But after sending off his application, he realized that he had attached his STD results.
Oh, my God. Stop.
To the application instead of a cover letter.
Well, that maybe a potential employer would like to know if you had gonorrhea.
He also says that he realized that he could not retract the personal information without withdrawing his application, meaning that he'd have to explain his embarrassing mishap to the recruiter. He added that 72 hours later, he got a standard message from the company saying that they weren't proceeding with the application.
We're going in a different direction.
And his video has racked up a bunch of views. All right, and then one last story. People who live near alligators know that they'll often try to find and eat anything that they can fit in their mouths. While this means people should be careful with small pets, it can also result in some pretty hilarious images. Sandra Raymond Harrison posted a photo on Facebook. And it's really funny. It shows an alligator carrying a football around in his mouth. And it was captured at the Big Cypress National Preserve in southern Florida earlier this month. Harrison spoke with local reporters and said she's worried about the animal's safety. She said, I know, isn't it funny?
That's great.
My concern is that somehow the football was wedged in such a way that the gator couldn't apply enough pressure to pop it.
Gators have a ton of pressure in their mouth.
And said the concern was also if the ball did pop, would it get lodged and kill the alligator?
Right.
It's not uncommon for Florida residents to see alligators carrying objects around in their mouth.
That is pretty funny,
though. This one's pretty funny. Yeah.
I think Florida, University of Florida, will probably have a field day.
Right. They got to do something with that. Yeah. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.